But Richard Baltus did, and he joins us now. Richie, congratulations.
Thank you.
And also, we're obviously going to talk about what went on here at Saratoga and Venetian Harbor. In fact, let's start there. Let's get that one out and get your thoughts. You know, the two of them figured to hook up. What were your thoughts going in and how it unfolded?
Before the race, I watched the Ballerina, so that was a very good race. The horse broke from the inside, broke slow, rushed up, and went very fast fractions and won the race. Held on, Serengeti Empress. So I think going into the other race, obviously we knew Gamin is probably the best filly in the country. Three-year-old filly, no doubt. So I was like, well, we break from the outside. Hopefully we make the lead, and maybe she can catch us. That would be like our only shot to beat her, probably. But anyway, they broke good. And the other horse broke really sharp was Gamin. And so they were just kind of like going easy down the backside. And I was like surprised that the fractions were as slow as they were. So they went 22:45 and the other filly. So I was hoping we were on the lead, but it just didn't work out that way. And we were second best. No disgrace. She came out of it really well, and you know, she's been a very good horse for us. We just haven't got that Grade One yet.
I don't know how much of the social media conversation you care to engage in, but I did see the questions being asked. Should Joelle have pressed more aggressively, and instead of sitting and kind of chilly? Any feel for that?
I don't know. I don't have a Twitter or anything, so I don't know anything about it. But my instructions were to go with her. But anyway, I'm not saying he rode a bad race. He rode a good race. He was second best. But I just compared it to the Ballerina, where I think the speed was holding at Saratoga that day, and the track was fast. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's a horse race, so. Not all the times that things work out, but hey, I thought we ran good, and if we would have went to their lead, maybe we would have ran fourth. Who knows? So, no qualms. I'm good about the race, and I'm happy that you came back well. And Gabine's going to be the favorite for the Kentucky Oaks, and we ran a she's run into some really good fillies the last couple races, and she's held her own. So, hopefully, we're around at the end of the year to. Say that we could be one of the top three fillies in the country or something like that. We'll see what happens.
You mentioned the Oaks, and people are going to be asking the question whether the 9 furlongs is going to be appropriate for Gamin. What do you feel right now, and as we approach the fall, you've tested her going around two turns. Do you have any better feeling for what she wants to do, what her best aptitude is?
I think 7/8 to a mile is her best race. I'm not saying that she can't. When she won the Las Virgenes, I mean, it was against lesser company, but it was like her first time around two turns. She's always been really strong coming out of the gate. She's very, very quick out of the gate, and she wants to take a hold of the bit. And she ran that race, and she was galloping down the backside, and it was kind of funny. Like we were trying to get her to relax. She did relax and got a breather, and then she rebroke when she hit the quarter pole and won by like 10 lengths. So,
yeah.
It's hard to say exactly. You take the horses as they come up, and you try to do your best to get them to relax and stretch out. But sometimes they just don't. Pedigree wise or whatever. So I'm saying right now she's probably best going from 7/8 to a mile, but I'm not saying she can't get farther down the road.
As maybe with maturity and as an older filly, no return trip, at least for when it comes to going to Kentucky, filly mare sprint, I suppose, has got to be the end of the season, or and the La Brea for the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the La Brea would be a good spot for her. You know, I think it's still a grade one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's really what we want to do with her. We want to win a grade one and just keep her sound and keep her happy and healthy. And, you know, that's about it. I mean, I think the three-year-old fillies are really tough this year. And, you know, I think the one that won yesterday, the Indiana Grand, is a very good filly, too. So, you know, or was that Ellis Park? I think it was
Ellis
Park.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that filly looks like she's up and coming, too. So, you know, it's a really strong bunch of three-year-old fillies this year.
Well, and I haven't even talked about that race yet, the Audubon Oaks, where Brad Cox, this looked like another Covfefe Monday call. That was something else. Let's shift to the success Saturday at Del Mar. And the Yellow Ribbon, I started to explain, you know, I've got this contest that we're doing for the NHC, and I pick a race and I pick a horse, and people can either come with me or they can go against. And I had a feeling that Beau Recall was, you know, vulnerable in here. And I didn't get to you, but 9-2, and you got a great Flavian Pratt ride. Talk about Bodhisitta and winning the Yellow Ribbon.
Well, you know, she's up and coming filly, obviously, and Flavian's always liked her, and you know, she was a horse that he thought was probably going to be one of the better fillies in California on the grass. So, but you know, that race. You know, when the Mandela scratched, there was no speed in the race. And I knew, like, Lady Francois, who's another one of my fillies that's really nice, she comes from way out of it. And obviously, Beau Recall comes from way out of it. And my other filly, Bodhisitta, that won the race, she has tactical speed, but she doesn't really want to be close. So, that being said, I thought, you know, he rode a great race. Save ground, and he was sitting third, and they were absolutely crawling on the lead.
Yep.
And, you know, we needed all of that ride to win the race, and because they were, you know, really, well, we're going to mile on the 16th, I think it might have been the slowest fractions of the whole meet, so going that distance, but, you know, we're lucky enough to have a tactical filly, and we got a great ride, and we got the job done.
You said that she's progressive and advancing, and this is one of those sets of PPs that's really telling, Reggie. It took three tries to break her maiden. She came from Ireland, and you can just see, even just using buyers, you don't even have to get more imaginative. 67, 71, 74, 79, 84, 85, 95, and then the win yesterday, 92. But she had run seven straight increasing buyers, just little incremental growth as a four-year-old and as a late three-year-old. It's got to be fun to train a horse like this.
Yeah, I mean, those horses, sometimes you get horses from Europe like that that have had little foundation, and you know, she just turned, I don't know what it was. I mean, maybe it's the harder ground. She was running against some pretty good horses in Europe, but, you know, she was a seven-time maiden. And, you know, she's really came around, and she actually has a very good turn of foot. She's tactical if they go real slow like the other day. And, you know, obviously, you know, when I run her in the grade one the other day, before that, the race before, it was like I just kind of taken a shot because I didn't have anywhere to run her, and she ended up running second. So, I think this is a tougher group of fillies, but it was just the pace had a lot to do with the race, which you guys know sometimes on turf racing. It's,
always, you know, always.
Yeah. So she came out of it good, and we don't know what we're going to do yet next, but we're lucky to have her.
This is nice, and it also, you know, you mentioned the Gamely try back in May, and then you had the time to this. It sort of feels, looking at the PPs, maybe she benefits from some time between races.
Oh, yeah. I think, well, to me, as a horse trainer, it's always good to give horses time between races, and especially if you want them to develop into being something. I mean, you got to space the races out properly, and, you know, sometimes the races come back quick, and sometimes, you know, you have to skip a race, and sometimes it just works out. I mean, this has been a crazy year. I mean, I've been trying to talk to some of my clients. It's like, we got to remember that we're in a COVID year, that we were out of racing for 2 months in California, and, you know, a lot of people didn't race, and so sometimes when we look at the racing form or we look at horses and we forget that this is not a normal year.
True. That's true. And, that's a great point.
You know, and it's, you know, like, one thing is certain. If you keep your horses good, you keep them sound, there's going to be another race later on. And that's the main thing.
Well, this one clearly is on the advance, and owner. I've seen Calvin Wynn's name. How many has he got in training?
Calvin has got maybe 10 or 12 with me now.
Nice.
This is a great story. I'll be real quick. He claimed a horse with me in 1999 when I first started out training on my own. Named Freedom Crest, who won the Goodwood, he won the San Pasquale, he won the Breeders' Cup Classic in 2001, and we
sure.
Played the horse for like 32,000 out of a maiden race, and we parted, I was assistant trainer for a while, and then he came back a couple years ago, and asked me to train for him again, and now we're buying really nice babies, and buying some horses from Europe. And, you know, we have Tyshawn. We have a lot of good horses. We have a lot of young horses that haven't started that are very nice. He's been active at the sales and active in overseas buying horses. So it's just like a good karma thing. We're back together. Things are going well. And he was extremely happy that we won the race the other day. And it's just it's nice to have a guy that like that putting up his money and loves the game.
That's tremendous. You know, and of course, adding value to her immediately, making, you know, a grade two winner. Does he breed at all, or will he run her through
the
sale?
Well, we've got to stay away from the breeding thing, because we don't really, we know that's not an easy thing. So we're gonna like, try to, like, keep a good racing stable. Like, we'll probably sell our mares if they become like her, and
nice.
I don't think we'll breed. I think we're going to stay with what we know.
Nobody should argue or you know, talk him and you out of it. That's a good plan. In fact, speaking of unraced young horses, you've got an $80,000 Twirling Candy that debuts on Friday. Commander Kai, tell me about the Gray Colt.
Yeah, you know what, he's come around a lot in the last 3 weeks, and he's ready to run, and I'm expecting a good effort out of this horse. Yeah. He's been training at Assembly Ray. Last three works have been very, very good. He seems like he's figured it out, and yeah, I kind of like the horse. I'm expecting him to run well.
Nice. And, you know, it seems like I haven't looked at the condition book, but it does seem like, you know, the two-year-olds are starting to get going now.
Yeah, it seems like they're starting to show up, you know. They're starting to show up. Some of them you would think of run, but the good ones haven't really hit the track yet. The real good ones, I think, you know, they're ready when they're ready. And that's
exactly. Well, and again, back to the point you made about being the COVID year, and you know, between 2-year-olds that you know, had to wait, for the sale ring, and you know, we had two very delayed sales, and you know, all the different things that have contributed to you know, adjustments in the schedule. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that, you know, we'll be looking toward, you know, September and October with the two-year-olds. Who else among the two-year-olds do you think is going to get a start between now and Labor Day at Del Mar?
We have another filly that's all right. Her name is Miss Costa Rica. She's a half-sister to Gas Station Sushi. And she's by that new sire, Hit It A Bomb, who had a stakes winner the other day.
Yeah, got his first one.
So, So she's all right. And then we have a few more, but, you know, we're not super deep or anything, but we buy our own babies now. And, you know, sometimes we get some sent to us that are okay, too. But, you know, I thought the horse that ran the other day in the maiden race was pretty good. He just went to the front and got a little tired. He's a big, beautiful colt by Liam's Map. He ran third in the maiden race, but I think he wants to go two turns. Big horse, so we got a race into him, and I think he's going to do some good down the road. That Noble Reflection.
You've also got to ask you too. You got Kitty Boom Boom Saturday in the Solana Beach.
Yeah, Kitty. Kitty's actually training really well right now, and give her a little rest, let her eat some grass at the farm, and I think she was just a little stressed out there for a while, but she's doing really well. She's trained really well, so it's a really good horse over the grass here the other day. She's obviously a cowbred, and she's in the stake. I mean, we're going to be a little bit of a price, but I'd give her a look. I mean, I think, you know, we got Mike reunited with her, Mike Smith, he won on her, so we'll see what happens.
I should also ask you about a couple of runners that just fell short. Super Patriot ran well that right at the beginning of the meet, right? In the Oceanitas.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Super Patriot, she got a little injury coming out of that race, so she's probably going to be retired, unfortunately. I mean, it was a pretty roughly run race, and I mean, she's fine. She just probably not going to race anymore. But you just send her to the farm and probably sell her as a brood mare. Yeah, she's really starting to come around too. But I think it was just an unfortunate thing. She came back to the barn good, and the next day she just wasn't 100%. And, you know, she's just going to be retired. So,
well, listen, that's
be a mama.
That's fine, and that we're going to get that. I mean, that's part of what we deal with. How about the winner, Neptune Storm, last week in the Eddie Reed? Yeah, I didn't get a chance to call you during the week. Glad I waited.
Yeah, Neptune, he ran third.
Third.
Yeah, he won the race up north, and yeah, he's doing really well coming out of the race. The owners want to look at that race, Kentucky Down, to her smile.
Nice.
So, we're going to skip the Del Mar Mile, probably run Bob and Jackie there, and but try that race. He's a Kentucky bred horse, big pot. And
exactly.
We're going to run a few over there, so that's what's going on with him. He breeds yesterday, came back well.
And how about let's get one more winner in from the debut winner for Bruce Chandler, the Twirling Candy, Dolce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dolce, she came back good. She took us a while to get her there, but, she's a nice filly. It's funny because she was training at Assembly Ray, and my assistant, Ruben, he's like, oh, she's like a bullet out of the gate. Well, I don't know, she missed the break. She just left last, and she still won. So, you know, I she might be really talented. She looks like she wants more ground too. So, hopefully, everything goes good with her and move forward.
Richie, great to catch up, and good summer going on, and nice to have Venetian Harbor visit Saratoga, and you'll have a few, anything for Churchill this year for the Derby Oaks
Week?
Oh,
yeah, we actually have horses at Churchill right now, and, you know, so we have Tyshawn's over there right now, Proverb, next shares. Well, we've been remaining, keeping horses there, and you know, next shares will probably run two in Kentucky Downs, but Tyshawn, Proverb, and there's some other horses we have there, 235. So
nice.
Yeah, we're at Churchill. I mean, Amy's done something awesome. She was up in Saratoga for the last 2 weeks because we went all Motion in Motion over there too. She's there, and we're sending some more.
Well, and there is there still the uncertainty about September back up with Santa Anita? Do we know what the schedule is?
I don't know what's going on. I mean,
right?
And I don't really know.
Yeah.
If they don't run for 2 weeks at Lhasa, I don't know the whole story, but I'm just hearing things. But the way I look at it, 3 weeks rest between Britain and Asia is not a big deal.
Well, exactly, and if you've got the string, if there's anybody that needs to run, and there's an opportunity, you can send them. If you got the base in Kentucky, that you know, having the toe hold there counts for a lot. That gives you options.
It really. I mean, now you know, a lot of the owners want to race Midwest or East Coast because you know, purses and the slots and all that are the purses are higher. So. It's almost like if you're a big stable, you got to have something going on in the East Coast.
There's no doubt, no doubt. Well, you got plenty going on, and Rich, I appreciate it, and keep them healthy, happy, and we'll see you at Churchill.
Okay, thank you,
Rich Baltus and Bodicita. Yellow Ribbon win and much more. And you also got a little hint about the upcoming starter this week coming up. Both in the stake and the maiden, and sometimes I don't get to write these all down, but I did. I got Miss Costa Rica, so there you go, and Vertical as well. Vertical, what was that? That was where is he from? That was a couple of weeks ago at Del Mar. We're supposed to connect with Barkley, and if we don't do it soon, we're gonna have to wait until tomorrow, maybe. All right, okay, no problem. We can do that, Deja. No problem. And Dave Grenick is gonna visit. We're gonna get Dave in a couple of minutes. Gives me actually a window. You know, we'll do. Let me give a couple of things out that we didn't get to. Tomorrow also, obviously, Andy, but we've also got Michael McCarthy is going to join us. Talk about last night's winner, you know, the La Jolla. Smooth like straight. And Brad Cox, that Monday call I mentioned. If you didn't see that, I mean, she ran like her tail was on fire. Actually, give you a couple of the other here. Actually, here's the Ellis. In fact, since it's right here, having talked to Drury, and let me also, as part of the Drury follow up, I mentioned attachment rate. Attachment rate connects for 20 points, which is going to be enough to get him in. The backy Isbister, Dale Romans runner, now sitting 18th, but after some horses demur from the Derby consideration, I think he'll ratchet up, because I've mentioned already this morning Swiss Skydiver, Chivalry, and Rushy. In fact, we'll find out about Rushy's status when we talk to McCarthy tomorrow. We'll see what's going on with the Danielle's horse, if they're Derby bound or not. But it's hard to believe that Chivalry, you know, who is clearly better suited to middle distance, one turn type assignments. It's hard to believe Chivalry is going to pursue the Derby and Swiss Skydiver. So those two, if they're not running, then then automatically, even before we get to the last point opportunity at Monmouth Saturday in the Pegasus, Finnick the Fierce and Pneumatic are sitting 21 and 22 right now, so they would edge up. But attachment rate in, and Necker Island was third in the Ellis Park Derby, and so 10 points for Necker Island gets him to 14. So he still has South Bend, Winning Impression, Uncle Chuck, Shared Sense, technically Dean Martini ahead of him. And Rowdy Yates picked himself up, I think, five points? Yeah, so Rowdy Yates now has 7. So Rowdy is accumulating points very slowly. Let me give you the top 12 right now that seem very much locked in. Tis the Law, Authentic, Art Collector, Honor AP, New York Traffic, King Guillermo, Thousand Words, Dr. Post, Max Player, who really haven't done that postscript either. We'll save it for Dave Grenig, the other runners out of the Travers, but Max Player with a very solid third in the Travers. Caracaro, second, and actually talked to Gustavo Delgado coming off the track. And Delgado, putting horses in the Derby, with on a steady basis. Caracaro seems to still have upside, and maybe a horse. Once you know now that both he and Max Player, now that you know that the 10 furlongs, that they can negotiate it. Caracaro, a little interesting. As maybe one of your Derby exotic players. Country Grammar, and Country Grammar kind of plugged away on Saturday. And I imagine that Paul will go, Paul Pompa, and ended up, fifth, I believe. Yeah, ended up fifth. Got the last significant check. South Bend was fourth. And Enforceable, there's your top 12. Major Fed we know is going, so that's 13. Attachment Rate would be 14. And this leaves Swiss Skydiver, Chivalry, and Rushy as, undecideds. So you got 15 no matter what. I know the people asking about whether there's going to be, a full gate. And I think there will be. The horses after Attachment Rate, Anno D'Or, Sol Volante, Finnick the Fierce, Pneumatic, Dean Martini, and you could tell Tom Amos's visit, ambivalent about running. Shared Sense, Uncle Chuck, Winning Impression, South Bend, Necker Island, Jesus's Team, Rowdy Yates, and then down to those that don't have points but would be interested. Cheryl Spite, we've talked about, obviously, with Sid from Mr. Fipke and Roger Atfield. Happy Saver and Money Moves, the two Pletcher three-year-olds that are now on Darren Rogers' working leaderboard list. So there's at least three horses that are interested in running that haven't accumulated points. So that just gives you an idea. I mean, we've counted 15. It's hard to believe there isn't another 3 to 5 between the zero-point crowd and the ones that have points. So it feels like there will be 20. All right, the rest of the Ellis and Deja. Yeah, I think you could try Dave now. I think he's probably ready for us. His phone had died. So, yeah, you could give Dave a try now. The rest of the action yesterday at Ellis, including a couple of maiden winners. McPeak, in addition to the stake win, with Crazy Beautiful, the Liam's Map filly, in the debutante, Drop Anchor, a first out winner for Hal Lerner. Good job. This group of people, including David Burnson and AWC and Nehawk Stables, and this one, an Anchor Down colt that won well with Brian Hernandez Jr. This was a $90,000 Fasig July yearling purchase out of a Curlin mare bred by Chad Frederick and Phoenix Farm. And the other two-year-old races, the juvenile Pico d'Oro for Bill Maury, the Sandon Syndicate Stable. This one actually bred by Mike Moreno and Eric Guillo, Southern Equine. A Curlin colt out of the Bernardini mare, Michelle Doro. And Pico d'Oro, that was the maiden, if you were watching, that broke his maiden in the juvenile. And that actually, of course, that race was marred by Liberty Run going wrong. And then there was the debutante, as I mentioned. And Crazy Beautiful, resounding winner, 5-2. Liam's Map out of an Indian Charlie mare, bred by Mrs. Vogel. And a $250,000 Fasig October yearling broke the maiden going a mile on the turf at Ellis July 4th weekend. And McPeak, with the clever turf to dirt turn back, wins the debutante. So there was the other, and we obviously already talked about Monday Calls. Big win in the Oaks. Lady Kate and New Rue 1-2 in the Groupie Doll. We talked with Tommy Drury. Right now, Dave Grenig joins us. Dave, good morning.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent. Are Turfworks finally over? Or the Turfworks just...
It's unbelievable. I think Chad Brown finally ran out of horses, I think. I'm not sure. I had to get out of there. It's unbelievable. Three straight days of turf work. There weren't as many today as Saturday, Sunday, but it's just it's amazing that, and, you know, kudos to his exercise riders, by the way, who might be the most fit people in Saratoga, because they just back and forth every day, and they don't get enough credit, but kudos to them. And but, wow, what a factory of horses that guy has.
I just laugh every time I send a note to you or to Welsh. Turfworks. It's like every single day. It's crazy. And then of course the you get the Turfworks on Friday. The rain came and actually gave you a day off from Turfworks.
Right. Well, Friday there was no turf, so they moved him to Saturday, which is a little odd because we're starting early. So basically, you're there till about 11, and first post is 12. It's like, well, you know, how are we working this?
Well, the turf courses continue actually to hold their own. They're actually that rain we got was timely, and you know, certainly the second half of the meet, which starts on Thursday, right? Thursday is day 21, so we're getting there. Let's talk about the weekend, and you know, obviously Saturday. You figured it was going to be a special day just by virtue of the kinds of horses that were involved. But Dave, other than having people on hand, it really was a satisfying afternoon at the old spa.
Especially if you're a fan or owner or connected with Tid the Law, because that was an impressive performance. You know, he just went right up. He saddled right alongside of Uncle Chuck. Manny looked over, maybe said, "Hey, how you doing, Luis?" And said, "Oh, I gotta go." And he just went and really put on a show. And if he wanted to, and there was no reason to do it because there's a lot of important races that lay ahead, he could have threatened Arrogance track record. If he came about a second and a fifth or so short, but he had him in hand the last 16th of a mile. And by my math, it's the fifth fastest, or equals the fourth fastest, but probably a little bit slower than Easy. We didn't have hundreds back in Easy Goers Day, but there's only three other horses that ran faster than for sure, than Tis the Law in the Travers. And then, ironically, he just slid in a little bit faster than the last New York Red to win it, Thunder Rumble, by 4/100ths of a second. So, but a dazzling performance that definitely stamped him as the prohibitive favorite to the Kentucky Derby in September, because that's when it usually is. And, you know, it's just a matter of keeping him sound and healthy. And, you know, they talk about a bubble in these other sports, like hockey and basketball. Well, they put, should probably put his horse in bubble wrap between now and September 5th.
Wow. And just we had Tom Drury a little bit ago. We misconnected with Barkley this morning, so we'll try tomorrow. But that's exactly what Tommy talked about, you know, just you know, keeping him healthy, happy, and bubble wrapped between now and Derby. And you know, Dave, the one element that keeps coming up, the final piece of his puzzle, Tis the Law, seemed to be, you know, a fast performance, a performance that, you know, was going to be high rated on any, you know, any performance rating scale, Thoroughgraph, Buyer, etc. And a 109 Buyer in this race stands up well over the last, you know, essentially the Buyer era.
Yeah, I didn't, you probably know more about that than I do in terms of Travers Buyers, but it was a, you know, it was definitely the fastest race he's run, maybe the most visually impressive as well. And also the fact that he was taken in hand, like I said, late makes it, you know, makes you less leery of what may happen going forward, you know, in terms of the bounce. Now, there is a question. If he has a question to answer, it would be, how will he run, no matter what number he got, how will he run with 4 weeks between races? Because he hasn't had that before. He's had 8 to 12 weeks between starts throughout his career. And now he's got to come back off a fast number in 4 weeks. Now, if you're just doing general handicapping, you're like, okay, well, maybe that's the hole we can function on. But then you watch his races, and you're like, I don't see any holes. there are no holes here. But that would be the one question, right? You know, coming back, big number, less rest than he's had previously. You know, and he is going back to a track where he lost once. He lost to Churchill. Now, granted, that was a wet track, and more so, I think the trip might have got him beat than the wet track, and maybe just general immaturity. So it was only his third career start, and right. First around two turns, if I recall. Yeah, because he had the maiden and the champagne. So, you know, there are things to, you know, look at, but then you just watch, click on a video of the race, and you're like, okay, this is an easy decision.
I saw your follow-up yesterday, and they're going to, much like Barkley did with the Funny Side, they'll train in New York and kind of come in on top of the race. And when Barkley did that, you know, with Funny Side, it was a novelty, and it actually kind of shook up the Cognoscenti about how to approach the Derby at the time.
Heck, he would have dropped them off if he could have put him in a helicopter and dropped them off in the middle of the card and put him right in the paddock before the race. He would have done that, and I'm sure he would do the same with this horse if he could. Yeah, you know, it's sort of become, maybe he started it, I don't know, but it's sort of, over the years, it's been less important to get significant training time at Churchill. And like we said earlier, he's already been there, so he's seen the track, he's seen the paddock, he's gotten somewhat acquainted with the surroundings there. But I just think it's just more comfortable, easier. The plane is actually 3 weeks from today, August 31st. So, he does his training here, whether he does. I know he said yesterday he thought he only had time for two works. Doing the math, I think he has time for three if he wants it. He probably doesn't need three. But whatever, two or three, do them here. He's trained very well here. Put him on the plane Monday. Let him, you can jog him Tuesday, gallop him Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and run him Saturday. So, and then most of the people that are based here, I think, are going to take that same approach. Just in talking to people, Gustavo Delgado with Caro Caro said the same thing, trained here. Now, Linda Rice with Max Player has a little bit of a different deal because that horse is already back at Belmont, but she can still train at Belmont and either van from there or van up here and catch the plane. And then the other horses that I know that are thinking about it, that are here, you have Dr. Post for Todd. He's, you know, I can't say for sure what he'll do, but I would think he would keep him here. And New York traffic, same thing for Staffy Joseph, the runner-up in the Haskell. I think he'll stay here. So we're looking at about five horses that are going to be doing most of their bulk of their training in New York, whether it be Saratoga or Belmont for the Derby.
Wow, and that actually, that between the Belmont and Saratoga coverage, when it comes to clocking report information, when we look to the weekend, to Derby Oaks weekend, that'll be nice between you and Mike and Mike Vesey down at Belmont. There'll be plenty of coverage. That's great.
Yeah, we should have, I think we'll have decent, obviously we'll have all the New York coverages, all the New York horses that are going there, which however many there might be, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that still remains to be seen. I think we'll have some decent coverage. And I also think, the California horses are probably going to do the same out west, at Del Mar. I think most of them will probably train there or Santa Anita, or San Luis Rey, wherever they might be based, and go in right on top of the race as well. I think the only guys that will, get the training over the track there would be like the, or in Kentucky would be the art collectors of the world. And I'm assuming Romans will go with attachment rate off the second yesterday. So if you're in Kentucky already, obviously you'll stay there. If you're wherever else you're located, you'll stay there. And I'm still of the opinion that the race will draw, somewhere between 14 and 16 horses. I do not, this is
wow.
My gut. I don't anticipate a full field. I haven't done thorough conversations with a lot of trainers, but I think for multiple reasons, this is not the year to just take a flyer. Obviously, the pandemic being one, and what its impact is on what you're able to do. It's nice if I have a horse that qualifies, great. Let's bring our family and friends to Louisville. We can have a good time.
Go right.
Backstretch in the morning, visit our horses, and have a good time. And I just think those things are not going to be in play as much this year. And then you take into account that you have some serious challengers, contenders in Barclay's horse and Tom Drury's horse. I mean, those are two legitimate 3-year-olds. Not to mention, I'm not giving up on Honor AP, and then with John Sheriff and the Battle Factor with Authentic and 1,000 Words. So I don't know that you're rushing to run against those horses just to say you were in the Kentucky Derby when the ancillary things that we just talked about aren't as readily available or perhaps as enjoyable.
It's interesting because I was waiting to have you join us, I went through the list, and there happens to be even some horses, and maybe you've talked more to Todd Pletcher, but he's got the two horses that are that don't have points, Happy Saver, the other one
Money Moves,
and then of course there's Cheryl's Spite. So there's three horses with 0 points that are interested in running.
See, I think Todd talked about, you asked him about these horses, and he says, obviously we've got September 5th circled on our calendar. Now, he's got three horses, like you mentioned, and three races to choose from. One being, obviously, the Derby, you have the Jim Dandy, and then you have the Tessio, which is not a sexy race, but it does, if you win it, you get a free pass into the Preakness, free birth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, look, for a horse, as good as I think Happy Saver is going to be, and as good a horse as Money Moves might be, they're not ready for this just yet. They're not ready for Tis the Log right now, because we just saw that. We saw Uncle Chuck. Uncle Chuck's two races were as good, if not better, than Happy Saver's two races. He wasn't ready for Tis the Log.
Exactly.
Those guys aren't going to be ready for this. As good, again, I think Happy Saver, if he stays healthy and they let him run as a 4-year-old and stuff, I think he's going to be a really, really good horse. But come September 5th, he's not ready for that.
Well, we will keep watching. And, of course, there's also a last point roundup at Monmouth on Saturday with the Pegasus. So and we know of at least one horse. We know Pneumatic.
I was going to ask if you knew what who's running there, because I said I know one. That was it, Pneumatic. I don't know.
Pneumatic? Can I use the jokes I used on TV?
Sure.
He's got a lot going for him. I don't think he'll tire. He could blow up in that race.
Oh, God.
He could get rolling.
Wow, you're gonna have a good time with this.
Oh, big time, please.
They should have you come down and get your award this weekend, and then you can stand up in the sports book.
I love it. Dave, let's talk about everything else that went on Saturday. And I had Rich Migliori earlier because now every Monday we have to go over the steward decisions with Rich and talk about the jockey decision. I tell you, this was tough because this gets into that whole discussion about you're taking a horse down that was obviously much the best, and okay, did he potentially cost placings to one or more horses? Yeah, he probably did. And so I wasn't surprised he came down. Personally, I would have hated to vote to take him down. Very tough.
I'm with you. You know, look, we can come up with all kinds of previous races. You know, how about the Majestic Dunhill was in it. The Clement won a stakes race.
The First Defense.
Go tell me, go look at that one, which we didn't take down, and go look at this one, which we did, and you tell me which one was worse. And, you know, I'm sure other people could come up with a million different things. I didn't like the DQ. I'm happy for Wayne Potts to get his first stakes win. Guy works hard. He's been doing this for a while. And it's a cool horse. American Sailor is a neat horse.
And he ran well.
And he ran very well. Joe Orsino did a terrific job getting that horse ready to run off a November layoff. And it's a shame. You know, that would have been one of those. And I have a stack of them sitting here in my pile of paper. Leave the horse up and penalize the jock. And,
yep.
You know, and that's what I would have done there. And, you know, Sheki Shabazz has a history of kind of, you know, lugging in a little bit anyway. So, you know, did it cost him placing? Yeah, but you know what? He might have cost himself his own placing at some point. So, I don't know. I had a tough one with that one. I actually thought it was not even going to come down. And then as I was waiting, it was sort of, I'm saying to myself, well, they're looking for a reason to take him down, and they did. It's unfortunate. I hope that, and I don't know what's going to happen going forward, I hope that doesn't cost Imprimis any chance of running in the Breeders' Cup, because I don't, you know, who knows
what
the division's going to look like. But he's basically going to have just one more start, which will be one of, there's three races in Kentucky. He thinks he's going to pick one of them. And I hope he runs well enough there that you know, he can get in, or the race doesn't overfill. But you know, if you get to November and this horse is kept out because his record doesn't look so good, well, I don't know. I thought it was a pretty impressive performance for a horse that hadn't run since November.
Well, exactly, and I'm sure Joe O just happy, you know, to get his good horse, you know, back going again. That part of it, at least, you know, lifted his head, and. You know, after
just in time to get back in the face.
Exactly. A couple of other notes. Let's talk about the two other 7 furlong performances. The fillies and the fillies and mares had Tom Amos earlier, and we'll get to Baffert tomorrow. Gamine following up the Acorn with another. You know, scintillating effort, and Serengeti Empress, that was as courageous a performance. You thought three different times she wasn't going to win.
I thought it was a very, very good performance. You know, I had the TV on or the computer on, and I thought they were going to maybe tick overboard on what it was. It was a very strong race after she didn't break well. But, I mean, Bellafina should never get on, should never leave California ever again. Just stay in California, because it just doesn't work out for her. I don't know how she didn't win that race. I really don't. I'm not sure she didn't win that race. Pink Sand should go right to Florida, just stay there, wait for the next 7 furlong race to go to the park. But the effort that Serengeti Empress was terrific, given how fast she ran and that she broke a step slow. You know, I thought she had a chance to win. You know, I didn't think she'd have to go 43-3 to do it early and still hang on, but it was a courageous performance, no question. And, you know, she'll put it this way. It'll be interesting, because I would imagine, even though she's going to go in the Kentucky Oaks, I would imagine Gamine might wind up in the Philly Mare Sprint at the end of the year. I could be wrong, but I'm wondering if she winds up there. And if those two hook up, that would be nice. That would be a really terrific race. Gamine, I don't know what you can say about this filly. I guess we'll have to see what she does in the Kentucky Oaks before I start plotting out the rest of her campaign. But her last two races are as good as any two performances that you've seen, from anybody this year. And she, to back up that Acorn with that performance in the test, I thought was pretty special. I thought Venetian Harbor might try a little harder to go, but then again, if you get hooked up in 43-3 there, where and you back up to fourth in that field, you're not going to feel good about it. So to just knock her out, knock your horse out, knock Gamine out, and set her up for someone else who really probably didn't deserve to win, might not have been the way to go. But I just think Gamine, there's a specialness to her that I think we'll get to see hopefully this year and next.
Well, and of course, having had Amos, and Amos talked about how he got the Oaks win, this is kind of in reverse. To me, it was mysterious that Baffert was going to shorten up even further the mile to 7/8, but he says he's been confident from day one that she would stretch out to 9 furlongs. So we'll watch over the next 4 weeks for those preparations. And I don't want some of the two-year-old efforts to escape us either, Dave. With a couple of minutes, obviously we'll talk on Friday, but by then we will have forgotten what a tremendous effort we saw from Jackie's Warrior to win that Saratoga Special.
Very solid effort, breaking from the outside and just motoring to the front and beating what I thought was a pretty quality field. And I think that ride of a lifetime's a nice horse, and obviously Casadero, who just maybe spinning his wheels here, wasn't up to it. Momos, I think, is going to just be a sprinter type, so I don't necessarily think we see Momos go out to the hopeful. Maybe he does, but I think he's he might be just your prototypical three quarter type of horse. But Jackie's Warrior was very good. Very good speed, finished well, galloped out well. I mean, I think, he'll be tough in the hopeful. And then the maiden that Todd ran on Travers Day, Mutasek, I thought was very good. You go back earlier in the week or maybe the week before, Reinvestment Risk for Chad. So they're not coming in droves, but we're seeing some nice performances from the two-year-olds. Those are three quality horses that if they wound up in the hopeful, I don't know who will ride these horses, but they'll be a solid field.
And, we also, I was going to save it for Barkley. People may not have noticed early in the card, the opener, actually, Doswell, the maiden winner for Barkley to start the day. That was certainly notable. And then yesterday, of course, the Empire 6 giveaway, a very nice $13,000. I personally was on a nice roll. And then the spinoff win kind of put me on my heels. Narrowed me down, and that was it. And then, of course, you had a winner in the nightcap that, you knew was going to break his maiden eventually, but kind of a tough horse to lean on in a multi-race sequence.
I didn't know he was going to break his maiden in Saratoga in his 19th career start. Not that it was a great field, but, I'm not sure how Bernate didn't win that race either. I would have had a tough time because I thought it was a tough sequence. I don't know that I would have been alive. If I had been alive and watched Bernate get beat like that, I would have really jumped off the roof there. I did not. I thought the spinoff race was a two-horse race. I thought you would have had to use Endorse, obviously, and spinoff. I didn't think you had to go any deeper there.
Yep.
But I don't know. But spreading out in some of the other races, which I would have done, I don't know that I would have, unless I had a partner or partners, been able to throw Bank Gala on the ticket. I'm just over 18 horses are not for me.
Yeah, I agree when it comes to pick sixes. Dave Grenig, everybody, DRF Grenig. And we'll convene for some Alabama conversation at the end of the week. Dave, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Talk to you.
Want to thank Dave, obviously, and everybody else, Richie Baltus and Tom Amos and Rich Migliori. And should mention Presque Isle tonight, 6:25, the Tom Ridge Stakes. nice field of 12, actually. Alfie Solomons for Wesley Ward, 6-1, Mario Pino. Trombetta's got his wife's horse. News to me. Good luck to them, too. Talk to you in the morning, everybody. Thanks.